Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm your host, Ray Graff. We get a lot of comments from listeners about the tunes we play during the breaks on Vox Pop. And we know you love music. I love music. So let's talk some music today. Bassist and composer Tony Levin is here with us today. He's best known for his work with King Crimson and Peter Gabriel. He grew up trained in classical music. He's played on some 500 albums, including those of Cher, Alice Cooper, John Lennon, Peter Gabriel. He's got a brand new jazz album out this week called Levin Brothers with his brother Pete Levin, and he kicked off a new tour with King Crimson here in Albany last night. He's playing again tonight at the Egg before he heads to the next stop in Philadelphia. Give us a call now and talk to Tony Levin, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We have other ways you can comment. You can comment on the Vox Pop page of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can check in on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. We'll take your tweets at WAMC Vox Pop or email voxpop@WAMC.org. But we sure do love your calls, and the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Tony Levin, a great pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Ray. Great to be here.
So how was the gig last night?
The gig was very special. It was you said it was the first King Crimson show of this tour, but this is the first time we've toured since 2008, so it was super special. And also, we have a different lineup, as has happened a few times through the years with King Crimson. So it was the first show with a kind of a classic lineup, and it was very special in a lot of ways.
It's more than a classic lineup, because I see so much buzz around the internet about three drummers. And what's that like for you?
Yeah, well, King Crimson is the band that tries things like that. And Robert Fripp, our founder and leader, got the idea of let's try three drummers. And his only instructions, he left it to them what to do, how to work it out. His only instructions to the three drummers were reinvent rock drumming. That's all. That was all he said to them.
By committee. And so how does that work? And how do you foresee that changing between now and the end of a very brief tour?
I can't predict the end of the tour, but it's sure been interesting, and the guys were very conscientious. They rehearsed weeks before we even got together with the full band, and believe me, it is not three guys thumping away at the drums. They worked out a whole bunch of different approaches, really intelligent ones, where I could be all day describing the different ways, but I think it's a fascinating process for the audience to see it. We also put the three drummers in the front, so when you look at the stage, you see the front line is three drummers spread out, and you hear them in very much in stereo. And then the other four of us are on a riser behind them.
So the lineup, the classic lineup from the very early days, of at least your joining Crimson in 81, 80, 81, is now expanded. Who's in the group now?
Well, to begin with, I wasn't in the original way back in the 60s.
Late 60s.
Yeah, the band's been around a while.
Yep.
I've been in pretty much since the 80s. Of course, we have Robert Fripp, the founder, and playing guitar, and Mel Collins has joined us. Mel was in an early version of King Crimson. He's a sax player, plays flutes, many saxes, and he gives it a completely different attitude than it's had in the guitar years that I'm used to. So that's a wonderful wonderful experience having him there. Then we have Jacko Jackix, lead singer, and playing guitar, very tough guitar parts. We have the three drummers, Pat Mastelotto, who has been in King Crimson since the 90s. We have Gavin Harrison, who joined us in the 2008 tour, so he's been it before. And Bill Rieflin, a wonderful drummer, best known for playing in REM, is our third drummer, and he does a great job. He also plays a lot of Mellotron in the show.
Mellotron?
Yeah.
I'm amazed you can find a Mellotron these days.
Well, you can find one, but let me put it a different way. He plays a keyboard that does a Mellotron sound.
I get it.
Mellotrons are notorious for breaking on the road.
Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Tony Levin. King Crimson kicked off the 2014 tour at the Egg in Albany. They're playing again tonight. Very exciting to see King Crimson, but it is an interesting, if you're used to a rock show, it's not quite like your average rock show. There is a sense, Fripp's underlying discipline when you go and see it. So my question for you is, and I alluded to this earlier, between now and the end of your road tour, will things have changed? Is there room for the music to change in the King Crimson setup?
Sure. Well, there's a lot about Crimson, as you said, that's different than, it's not your ordinary rock band. We try to be what I consider really progressive. It's called progressive rock, but that doesn't mean playing the music you played in the 60s. To us, it means, or at least to me, it means moving forward and doing what you never did before and finding new ways to do things. And because of the experimental nature, you have some swings and misses. If you're going to hit a home run, you're going to have some strikeouts. So the whole show will never strike out, but there are some pretty wild moments. There's a lot of improvisation and different ways of approaching the improvisation. And also the way we interact among ourselves on stage is different every night. So there will be shows that are spectacular and shows that are wild, but had a lot of mistakes and things like that. And that's, if I had my druthers, that's the kind of band I'd like to be in.
You're playing some older stuff from the 70s, some going back even, I think, what, to the first Crimson release.
I'm not an expert at that, but yes, we can talk about it today. Yesterday, I could not have because the first show we wanted to have that first audience have the pleasure of hearing the songs for the first time and knowing the set list. I'm sure it's on the web by now, probably many places. Yes, it has a lot of pieces from the early Crimson, but our approach, as directed by Robert, was to look at it all as new music, but some of it happened to be written a long time ago. So we are not necessarily playing them the way they were recorded in the beginning.
When you rehearse for something like this, and I don't know how many rehearsals you did as a group, I imagine you're all very busy. Do you have to change your mindset? In other words, playing a session, you're playing 4-4 99% of the time. When you're playing Crimson, who the heck knows what you're playing?
There's never 4-4, yeah. That's for sure. It's a real conscientious band, really conscientious. So we are all busy, terrifically busy year for me and for Pat. And whenever there was free time, we'd go to England and we'd rehearse. So I think we must have rehearsed 5, 6, 7 weeks for this little tour that's 5 weeks. And that's what we needed to do, because this is the time, for me personally, it's a time to try different instruments that on the same pieces that I played before, and even to try new techniques, new ways of playing. If I have some wild idea, like the funk fingers or the finger bow, the brand new funk finger bow.
Well, what's the finger bow? We've seen the funk fingers many times.
It'll take me too long to explain.
All right.
But this is the time to try it. And also, in those rehearsal periods, you try a lot of ideas that really don't work, that are pretty dreadful, but you try them out and then you put them aside. And even the last few days before the first show, I was still changing instruments and trying things. And it's wonderful. It's exciting to be in, for me, the one situation where I got to push myself and I have to get out of the old way of doing things. And it's very good for me musically.
Is Fripp happy? Can you tell? Is he pleased?
He's not only happy, but our first, I wouldn't call it a rule, the first parameter of this incarnation is to have fun. Something the other Crimsons definitely did not do. So we're reminding ourselves daily to have fun, and we are so far.
Well, that's great. Let's go to the phones. We have many calls, and I do want to talk about your new record with your brother Pete, which is, by the way, really nice, relaxing, good, straight-ahead
jazz.
Thank
you. You're one of the few who's heard it.
And we're going to go to Jeff in Goshen. Jeff, you're up.
Yeah, hi, Tony. My name's Jeff. Love your work. It's funny, I was a little bit too square in the 70s to enjoy King Crimson, but I grew up and I expanded my musical taste, and I came across an album of yours, 2007, I think, World Diary, which just knocked me off my feet. I've used it for a lot of improvisational dance and stuff myself. Can you just say a few words about how that collection of work came together and whether you're still drawing on that font of information that World Diary came out of?
I can, Jeff. Thanks. That's an interesting question. I never get asked about that. That was my first solo album. It wasn't in 2007. It was in 1994, I think. I had been touring and recording just really a long time in band situations, and I wasn't going to make a solo album, and my good friend Robbie Dupree one day just said to me, why don't you take a tape machine on the road? At that time, there was a new thing called an ADAT, a digital tape recorder. He said, take it on the road and make the album with some of the wonderful world musicians you meet on the road. And it's one of those things, if you have a good friend who knows you, sometimes you find they say something, and before they even finish it, you know that they're so right that it's going to happen and it's going to be great. And that's exactly what I did. I did it exactly the way he said, and I invited Shankar and Brian Yamakoshi to play Koto, and it was a very unusual album. And with only duets, I found it easy to self-produce it because I hadn't produced records at that time. So there you go. I don't think I'll be going back to that kind of intimate road recording done in hotels and things like that, but yeah. I had a lot of fun, and I think we created good music for it. That's the most important thing.
Jeff, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Matt in Pittsfield. Matt, you're up.
Hey, Tony, I'm a huge fan. Been a fan for a long time, and I finally got to see King Crimson for the first time, been waiting like 30 years. And it was a great show. I loved it.
You mean last night? Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it was really special to us too, and the energy from the audience was really great, and just at least one of the pieces I think had never been played live since it was recorded way back in the 70s. So it was kind of you could feel in the room that the audience, some of them understood that.
Like Sailor's Tale, is that the one? Or
you know what? I'm really not.
Or the letters.
Do you have charts? Do you go by charts?
The charts don't say whether it was ever performed live before. and I think you'll find that some callers in today will be more expert at King Crimson than I am. So I won't go on a line and say the wrong thing. I think it was One More Red Nightmare, actually.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
I think, but I'm not positive.
Matt, you going back tonight?
Oh, I wish. I wish I could see the whole tour. But I'm also eagerly awaiting your CD with your brother. It should be showing up at my house any day.
Oh, you're very kind. So you pre-ordered. I appreciate that. That album came out yesterday, and
yeah,
it's fine if people order it now, but we really appreciate sometimes the people who take the trouble to pre-order it online, because that helps us with just business stuff that you wouldn't think about, knowing how many to make and putting in the order. That saves you money if you don't over-order and things like that. So I appreciate that.
And Matt, you will hear a little preview in a moment or two. We're going to take a short break here. 1-800-348-2551. Tony Levin is our guest. Crimson again tonight at the Egg. We'll be back.
Support for WAMT comes from Kent Hicks Construction, West Chesterfield, Massachusetts, specializing in energy-efficient, net-zero, passive house home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restorations serving Western Massachusetts. KentHicksConstruction.com. Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, featuring a variety of mums, shrubs, and trees for fall planting and bulbs for spring. Open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, and Sundays, 9 to 4, a gardener's destination, StoriesNursery.com. The Springfield Symphony Orchestra, launching its 71st anniversary season with concerts from Beethoven to the Beatles. SpringfieldSymphony.org for tickets and info. And Kenco Work and Play Outfitters, Route 28, Kingston, locally owned outdoor outfitter supporting kayaking, hiking, archery, fly fishing, and more in the Hudson Valley since 1982. atkenco.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It is, I'll tell you what, yesterday was a big day for Tony Levin because, number one, Crimson kicked off a very brief tour, a very rare tour, right here in Albany at the Egg, and then that's a big thing. And then the other big thing is, on the same day, Tony and his brother Pete release a brand new album, and it's a beautiful old jazz record. I would not have pegged you for doing this kind of music.
You can't get further musically from what King Crimson does, but there you go. That's the way it is. The music business is kind of funny. So we recorded this actually last January, but there's always a time lag before it comes out because of record companies and things like that, and that's okay. But so I find myself deep inside King Crimson music while the album comes out, which I will play live next year with my brother Pete, and it's wonderful stuff. It's very different. It's very it's the jazz we were attracted to as kids when we were growing up in Boston. We loved what's now called the cool jazz of the era, which is very melodic, simple songs with short solos. So these songs are 3 minutes long, 4 minutes long, and consequently you can fit 16 of them onto a CD.
I was going to say, there aren't too many jazz albums these days with this many tracks.
It's not the style that's being done now, but in the end it always comes down to how good is the material you've written, and we worked pretty hard to try and write some stuff not maybe as classic as the stuff we grew up listening to, but that was our inspiration, and I think we did okay. I think we have nice music that people are going to like listening to. For me, it was also a wonderful challenge. I play bass on it, mostly upright bass, but also I took the lead on cello, which is a style that I, again, when I was maybe 8 years old, I heard my older brother Pete playing these records where the Oscar Pettiford, the great jazz player mm-hmm. of the 50s, was playing lead on the cello. So I couldn't wait to do that myself, and that's what I finally done 50 years later after first hearing it.
All right, well, let's hear a little bit of the Levin Brothers and the brand-new album, which, by the way, is also done on vinyl, if that is your scene. And it's nice to see a vinyl record.
Thank you. Another bucket list wish of ours, to do an album together, to do a jazz album, and to have it come out in vinyl and CD, of course.
All right, what track you want to hear first?
Let's play the one called Brothers. You'll hear the cello taking the melody.
Tony and Pete Levin, a new album out yesterday, Levin Brothers, and we just heard a song called Brothers.
Brothers, and by the way, Pete plays keyboards. He plays both on piano on some tracks and organ on others, and we had a great cast of musicians along with us, and good fun.
Well, you sure do have some great musicians, including Steve Gadd and Jeff Siegel and Eric Lawrence.
Eric Lawrence is a sax player. He wasn't heard on that piece, but yeah, and Jeff played wonderful drums on most of the album, but I thought it just proper to bring in my old friend Steve Gadd, a really well-known drummer who all drummers know of now. And Steve and I were in school together, and Steve was really instrumental, kind of mentored me into becoming a jazz player after being a classical player before that. And so this one piece called Basics, which is mostly drums and bass, I thought, well, gee, it'd just be right to get Steve on that, and I was pleased I was able to.
Working with your brother. Yeah. Having a brother myself, were there moments of tension there?
Never.
When you worked? Never.
No, we're not.
You guys
that
are
kind
relaxed.
Of brothers.
Yeah.
Completely, always on the same team.
No creative tension or anything.
No, any kind of tension. Our whole lives. Yeah, we work really well together. And I've done albums with a lot of people, and I wouldn't describe it as tension. But sometimes when you have a different vision of where a particular song or a mix is going to go, then you have to sort it out, and that kind of thing. It doesn't really get tense in the groups that I'm in, but it gets intense sometimes. But with Pete, we didn't have that factor at all. There's a lot of musical respect, and if he wanted a different way than me, then I said, well, sure. And likewise, he does the same with me.
Well, it turned out very well, and I'm glad it was a happy
thanks.
Experience for you. Tony Levin is here, and the number to call is 1-800-348-2551, and I will get back to your calls. Thank you for being patient. I want to hear another track off this record. Caught my ear immediately. Because it goes back to that first Reformed Crimson record. Was it 81? Was it 80? 82?
Oh, I know what you're talking. Yeah, I the material on this is all original, but we thought, well, gee, some Crimson fans are going to be drawn to listen, to check this out because of knowing me. So let's put one piece that's not an original. And this is from 81, I think, from the Discipline album.
It was a beautiful track on the Discipline record. It's Mate Kudasai. Let's hear it, Zach. Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Tony Levin is our guest, and we just heard another track from the new Levin Brothers record, and that was a King Crimson song, Mate Kudasai, which ties in so nicely to King Crimson. And you guys are playing another show tonight, and you say the set list may be a little different tonight.
Yeah, we're still at the early stage of the tour, so we're experimenting with pulling songs in and out, but it'll be at least a little different. Frankly, we won't make the set list until soundcheck. later today.
How many songs are in the possible roster of tunes for a given night?
I haven't added them up, and from memory, I can't even tell. I mean, it's not a huge number, but that's more a little more than enough.
You'll mix it up. All right, let's go back to the phones. Oh, by the way, where can we get this record, your new Levin Brothers record?
The Levin Brothers, I'm glad you asked. The usual places online, we love it when people get it through the record company, but through us, and we have a website called thelevinbrothers.com, and a good place to go is tonylevin.com, my website. I say it's good because it's interesting, because I have been keeping weblogs of the tours I've been on, Peter Gabriel and King Crimson tours and many others, since about 1994, so it's a pretty wild site with lots of tours you can look through pictures of, and that's tonylevin.com. I think it's on Amazon now, and I think they're going to hold it off on iTunes for a few weeks or a month or something, but eventually it'll be on iTunes too.
And if you have a turntable, the LP is a nice one to get.
The LP, I think, actually doesn't ship for another week because it takes longer to manufacture, but the LP can be ordered online, and eventually it'll make itself It'll appear in vinyl stores. I'm told they're big now.
They're back. Yeah, who knew? Let's go to Chris in Sandgate, Vermont. Chris, you're on.
Hello, WAMC's MVP Ray Graff and Tony Levin. It is a pleasure to talk to you. The music sounds wonderful also. I saw you guys, the Discipline Tour in Boston many moons ago, and I think my heart is still beating in some intricate time signature.
I like that.
But what I want to know is, you played the Chapman stick.
You know that? Already you know that. I do play the Chapman stick.
Yeah, I was wondering if the audience might find it interesting if you could explain a little bit about it.
I will.
Very interesting, and I'll take my call offline because I've got to get to the doctor, and I'll listen on the car.
Chris, you're beating me to the punch, and you're interrupting my flow, but we'll let it go.
I'm sorry. I know. You're one of the funniest guys on Earth, Ray, and I don't want to rain on your parade.
It's all right, man. We'll talk about the Chapman stick. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
So,
bye.
Ray, I'm glad your brother could call us.
Hey, my brother is named Chris, but that's not, that wasn't it.
I'm joking. The Chapman stick has 10 or 12 instruments, and it's still looks stick-like because it doesn't have a body. It's the neck of a guitar. And it's played with what's called a hammer-on or touch guitar technique. And I got it quite a few years ago, actually just after it came out, I think in the late 70s. And I found it interesting for playing the progressive music that I was involved in at that time. Because I only played the bass side of it. It has bass strings and guitar strings with a stereo output. And I was attracted to it because I could fashion a different kind of bass part with different notes and with a different sound than the same old bass, and I'm always looking for that.
And you have said in the past that you're not really a classic stick player. In other words, there are those who are trained to play stick. You've sort of blazed your own trail on the stick.
Did I say that? I don't
know. Well, not, I know not so many
it sounds
words.
Good. It sounds good to me, Ray.
But I mean, isn't that true? There are those who play the stick differently.
Sure, there are a lot of stick players, more than you would think, and they play in a whole lot of different ways. Recently, I was at a stick seminar, Chapman stick seminar in Los Angeles, and I heard really 30 people play in 30 different ways, and I think that's wonderful. I love the variety that music gives us, and I try and play my best and to do my best part. I will say that I am in a group, a wonderful trio, that the group that I tour with the most is called Stick Men. And I started that as a vehicle to play the stick only. I don't bring the bass on those tours, with Pat Mastelotto of King Crimson, the drummer of King Crimson, and with Marcus Reuter, a wonderful touch guitar player who lives in Germany. So Stickman tours a lot, and I have plenty of opportunity to play the stick, and I play it in King Crimson. So.
And that's interesting because it really caught our ear on the first reunited Crimson album, Discipline. And we said, what is this instrument? So my question for you is, did your playing the stick influence the way that reformed band sound, or did they need that sound?
I don't really step outside to have the objectivity to see that kind of stuff, Ray. I just did my best, and I lent what seemed to be the appropriate sound for that music, and it worked out. And particularly, there's one piece that Crimson did called Elephant Talk, which started out with the stick, and that attracted the attention of a lot of people who later became stick players.
All right, here's one from email. This is from Jamie. First time I saw King Crimson, you were the opening act at the Felt Forum in the early 70s. Well, you weren't there. Even though I forget who was the main show, could have been The Who. Oh, there's a combo. My music taste was transformed and expanded Some of the transformation was to Genesis and such, but your music also took me to Weather Report, Shadowfax, Jean-Luc Ponty, and many other Windham Hill recording artists. Who was the headliner on that tour? Well, you weren't there.
No, I wasn't there.
You were probably with Buddy Rich at that time.
Once in a while, Robert does start mentioning the bands that Crimson opened for in the early days, and it was pretty wild and surprising, because in those days you had the promoter, the Bill Graham concerts, who he liked to put together different genres of music. So in those days, concerts challenged audiences more than they do now, which is pretty great.
Tony Levin is our guest, 1-800-348-2551. Seth in Slate Hill, New York, you're on.
Hi, Tony. Someone already asked the question about the 13-string Chapman bass, but what type of amp and speakers are you using on this album, and which bass?
Okay, that's a really interesting question. I don't have the... I'm feeling bad that I'm missing the 13th string. My Chapman
see,
stick only has 12.
Yeah,
well, I'm going to string that extra I'm sure it's around somewhere
right,
in the case.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Believe me, I'm just kind of making fun of myself, because sure. I was happy with the 10 string. I don't even know why I got the 12 string. There's two different factors. I'm touring with King Crimson, and I use Ampeg bass amps, as I always have for a really, really long time, and enjoy that. And the instruments I play on that in the show tonight, a bunch of basses, including one of my almost antique basses that I last played in the 1984 tour with King Crimson, and I thought I would break it out for this tour. But on the Levin Brothers Jazz album, I played the NS Electric upright bass, which I play a lot with Peter Gabriel, some with King Crimson, and it's just perfect for jazz. And from the same company, NS Electric cello. Makes a wonderful cello. Neither of them sounds like an electric instrument, partly because we put a microphone on them when we did the recording, but they're just wonderful instruments, and that's what the Levin Brothers Jazz album that I'm playing on.
Seth, thanks a lot. In fact, that electric bass that you play on your new Levin Brothers record has such an airy, natural sound that I asked you in the green room whether
thanks.
You were playing acoustic
bass.
Well,
thank you. I appreciate that, and I feel the same, and could this be a great introduction to maybe play the song called Basics from the album that has the bass playing the melody?
Oh, you've done this before. All right, Tony Levin is our guest. Let's hear track number one, Mr. Zach. It's a Basics. Vox Pop on WAMC. That's new music from Tony Levin and Pete Levin. Levin Brothers is the new record, and we are happy to have Tony on the program today. King Crimson played last night at the Egg in Albany, kicking off a new tour. They're there again tonight, and then the next stop where? Philadelphia?
Philadelphia, then Boston, New York, and out west.
You're going out west as well?
Yeah.
That's great. Let's go back to the phones. John in Kingston. John, you're up.
Hi, Tony. Big fan.
Hi, John.
Great to have you on. I was curious, in your earlier days, whether it was live performance that set you on a path to doing more studio session work, or whether it was the session work that actually catapulted you to more live performance. And another little question, live smaller gigs, if you use compression, and if so, what type of compression or compressor?
Well, John, I'm guessing you're a bass player, and maybe that you're looking for tips about getting involved in sessions. I don't have any good ones that are current, because when I did it, the earth was still cooling, and I moved to New York, and they were actually, if you can believe it, looking for more bass players to do sessions, and things were very different then. What I always did, what I'm best at, is just explaining my own experience. It's not because I think it's great, but it's what I really know. I just always played with all the musicians I could, all the music I could, and hopefully if I played well on it, then those musicians would remember me and think of me when they had another opportunity. And most of the guys I know that got busy through the years, that's how it happened, not from making the right call or even being in the right place at the right time, but but from playing well with a lot of people. So I do advise that. And things take a lot of luck also. For me, I was a live player who did not want to play studio stuff, and I turned down the first few and when I moved to New York until I was short on money, and then I said yes to those record sessions. I did a really lot of them, but as soon as I had a chance to leave town, which was with Peter Gabriel, when he started offering me to go on the road with him in 1977, I think, I said goodbye to that kind of studio work and did more live playing, which I prefer.
Excellent.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you. It's not an easy field, but you try and keep in mind, as long as you're making music and hopefully good music, then you're ahead of the game, even if you could be more successful at it.
I'm interested in why, I certainly see that there would be a rush playing live, but why studio work just sort of left you cold?
Oh, it doesn't leave me cold. I really dig it, but I really, really love playing live. And, you know, everyone who's been at a concert knows why. There's a magic that happens to the audience and to the band, and in between them, we can't really put it into words, but there's something really special that happens, and that's I wouldn't call it even my drug, but that's what I live for, and that's why those of us who are doing it after many years, that's how we can put up with 22 hours a day of travel and difficulties in hotels and missing our family for those 2 hours that we're sharing music with people in real time.
Have you ever considered the alchemy of it? In other words, when you are on stage and you think, and everybody in the band thinks, God, we're on, and the audience is sort of blah, do you ever try to figure out why?
It doesn't happen that way very often, maybe once in a great while, but the opposite is definitely true. If those of you listening, there's a concert somewhere or there's a few concerts that just moved you and you remember, and you know you'll remember that concert all your life, and you don't know why, and it was just like really right. Well, that I can tell you from being the guy on the stage, King Crimson at the Pier in the 80s and Peter Gabriel a number of times in places, the guys on the stage feel the same. Maybe it's not at the front of our consciousness because we're out doing another show the next night, but there's some miracle that happens, really amazing communication between the audience and the band, and I love that it lives on in us even after we go home.
We'll take a break here. Tony Levin is our guest. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We'll hit the home stretch coming up. Get your calls in at 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMT comes from Paradise Copies, Northampton, Massachusetts, providing printing design for customers for over 20 years, from digital to offset, color copies, scans, logos, and more, ParadiseCopies.com. The New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, now offering legal help for veterans serving the public for over 30 years, nysba.org/lawyer-referral. Washington County Tourism, featuring the arts throughout Washington County, including theater, dance, galleries, museums, music, performing arts, and more, WashingtonNYCounty.com. And Art Along the Hudson, celebrating the arts in Beacon, Garrison, Cold Spring, Kingston, Greater New Paltz, Newburgh, Peekskill, Poughkeepsie, Hyde Park, Rhinebeck, Red Hook, Tivoli, and Saugerties, ArtAlongTheHudson.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, having such a good time here with Tony Levin of King Crimson, and his new record with his brother Pete is Levin Brothers. And you didn't even recognize that one,
did you? I didn't
even
recognize that.
Buddy Rich, The Roar of 74. Okay. That's you on bass, and Joe Beck on guitar. And you played with them for how long?
Only a week. Kind of a long story, but Buddy came into town without a bass player, town being New York, and needed me for two live gigs, and then 2 days in the studio, and Buddy, who jazz musicians know, Buddy was famous for firing the band, and darned if he didn't fire the whole band the first day in the studio.
And hired them all back?
Hired them all back. The other guys told me, don't worry, he'll hire us back in the morning, and so we did that album in one day.
You did the whole recording in one day?
Absolutely, yeah.
So he was just nuts?
Having been fired
just
the day before. Well, I'm not going to judge it, but
he's
a penchant for firing the band. He liked firing guys.
All right, well, let's go back to the phones. Tony Levin is our guest. Jeff in Albany. Jeff, you're up.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hi, Jeff.
Tony, I was at the show last night, and I've been going to music more than 30 years, and it was the best show I have ever seen.
Oh, my God.
Thank
you very much.
It genuinely was.
And I saw you taking pictures from where you were standing. If you don't mind me asking, what were you trying to accomplish? Or what do you want to
capture? Well, I'm a little squeamish about that because we very vocally ask the audience, please not to take pictures and not to record things, and they very kindly are that way. And yet I continued. I only took a few, though. Usually I take them. I take really a lot. King Crimson music, frankly, doesn't give me much chance to pick up the camera. As I said before, since 1994, I've been keeping a weblog online of pictures from the road, of backstage and on stage, and mostly pictures of the audience. I love grabbing a picture of the audience and letting them see on TonyLevin.com, on my blog, what they look like to us, because it is very inspiring. Indeed, the only pictures I took pretty much last night were at the end when I had asked the lighting director to turn the lights up so I could get a quick picture of the audience. It's so you can see yourself. That's the reason.
Well, it was interesting, and if I could go on real quick, is that it connected us to you. Like, we were looking at you, and you were looking at us. So it was even added to it. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being there, because it would not be the same without the people there.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Isn't that a great room, by the way?
It is. I had been there to see concerts, but I had not played there before.
I saw Basie Big Band there 100 years ago, and I'll tell you, they blew that room apart. It's just a nice, intimate place, and especially for King Crimson. God, I can't wait to see that. Mike in Cornwall. Mike, you're up.
Yes. Tony, yes, I would like to ask you, I'm a woodwind player from Troy, not far from where you are right now, and play clarinet and saxophone. How often do you ever use woodwinds or brass in any of your work? Any of the work that you do for, you know, interim music or whatever?
Are they?
I hear percussion. I hear strings.
Well,
like I've seen, for example, and then I'm just going to shut up. The bass saxophone, the B flat bass saxophone, is being used much more now than it ever has been.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know why that is. But
yeah, maybe I don't either. Well, Mike, I'm a bass player primarily, and when I do my own albums, it's with my group or myself, and then I add people. And the new album with my brother Pete, in fact, we do have a sax player, wonderful Eric Lawrence, a great sax player. But really, you would want to talk to producers and people who are the ones who hire musicians to really get a sense of how much is being used. I know in King Crimson we have Mel Collins are just a fantastic.
What did you say?
Oh, in King Crimson, the tour that just started and the show last night and tonight, Mel Collins is playing about three or four different saxophones. I think he plays soprano, alto, and baritone.
And what inspired
also plays
Fripp to
flute.
Do that? What inspired Fripp to go that route?
To have Mel back in the band? I don't know. I don't even really ask Robert why he does things.
Are you scared?
Not at all. No, I respect his musical direction, and I understand that the heart of King Crimson lies somewhere in Robert's psyche and what he chooses as a direction, for whatever reason he chooses it, that's the one we should be going in, and he thought it was time for a horn player. And he was right, yet again.
Tony Levin is our guest. Crimson tonight at the Egg. Let's go to the phones again. Jeff in North Bennington. Jeff, you're up.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Been a fan of Tony's for years. I saw you guys at the Van Dyke a few years back for the Resonator tour.
Yeah, we like that club.
Yeah, it was a great place. And my first time I saw you was actually in the early 80s at SPAC with Peter Gabriel. And speaking of memorable concerts, that still stands out as one of the best I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one question I had is, I remember from that show, Peter Gabriel stands at the edge of the stage and lets himself fall backwards into the crowd.
Yeah.
And I just have to say that's a huge leap of faith.
Sure is.
He was the first, in my experience, he was the first to do that. The song was called Lay Your Hands on Me.
Yes, I remember.
And he did it at civilized places like SPAC, and he did it at very uncivilized clubs and theaters where they didn't want to return him to the stage. I'm very aware of that because we in the band would have to vamp and sing Lay Your Hands on Me over and over again while it maybe took 5 or 10 minutes.
Exactly. Well, there's a crowd passing way out into the audience.
That became called crowd surfing, and other band, and notoriously Bono did it, and other bands started doing it. And that's Peter for you. He just he really feels at one. Speaking for him, I shouldn't do that, but he seems to feel really at one with the audience, and they they feel that way about him. That's the reason they safely take him away from the stage and safely return him every night when he does that. I got to say, we haven't done that in quite a few years, that maneuver.
It was a beautiful maneuver, memorable after 30-plus years.
Oh, and that's wonderful.
Yeah, so just a quick question. Any plans? I know he's taking a little time off for more Peter Gabriel tours with full band. I know he did the New Blood stuff.
I can answer that definitively. We have indeed been touring with Peter for about 1 month each year. We've done it three times already, reliving the So album. It's the same band that recorded and toured with So, and we'll next do it in November, this November. After King Crimson tour ends, I have a short tour with Stickmen, a wonderful tour, and then I'll go to Europe to join Peter Gabriel. He is not doing the States in this tour leg. We're playing Europe and the UK.
Okay.
Jeff, thank you.
So hopefully come back to the States.
Okay, or buy yourself a plane ticket to Paris.
Okay, one way or the other. Take
and
care.
Wave.
Fair enough, Jeff. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Tony Levin is our guest. 1-800-348-2551. So the reunion shows with Peter Gabriel, can you recapture that? And I was at that SPAC show as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was 84 or whatever year it was. Can you recapture that feel now that you guys are on a bit in
age?
We're
on a bit. Well, first of all, I don't know about the other guys, but I'm glad to be safely above the earth and be still kicking around all these years. Because it was 85, I think, or 86 that we first did the So tour. I'm not objective enough. I don't listen to the old live recordings or watch the videos. And B, I'm just not interested in what went on before. So I'm not the guy to accurately say how it compares to the ones before, but it sure is fun, and the other guys are really playing up a storm.
So the music's good.
David Sanchez from Woodstock is just a great keyboard player. Manu Katché is still playing great, so it's a great tour for me.
Is he a fun guy to work with?
Peter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, profoundly fun, because he's a genuine, his public persona is that he's really special and wonderful, and he really is that way. Wonderful guy, great sense of humor, but also his brilliance about staging. So he'll have us doing goofy little dances that seem crazy in rehearsal, but then when you do it in the show, it just seems right. Like, why didn't anyone else think of doing this? So he's great and a lot of fun.
Tony Levin is our guest. Crimson, of course, tonight, and then it's on to Philadelphia in a couple of days. And the Levin Brothers record is new. It's on vinyl. It'll be out in vinyl pretty soon. Which it's nice to see a record on vinyl. Let's hear another track from that one.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to hear?
Let's play Not So one that Pete wrote that shows his marvelous and subtle sense of humor. This is called Not So Square Dance.
Not So Square Dance. That's nice cello, and I don't know if I've ever really made that particular phrase before.
You don't hear much jazz cello nowadays, so we fixed that problem.
So it's been several years, perhaps, since you played the cello, and does it come back to you?
Quite the opposite. I'm very much a bass player. I only got the cello 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was while I was practicing it that I kind of harkened back to that music. I mentioned that Oscar Pettiford played cello when I was a kid, and I still remembered those songs, so I started practicing them, and they kind of grew on me, and what grew on me also was how great was that music that I really was listening to 50 years ago that I still remember it. I didn't need to get the record or hear it, and when I called Pete and said, what would you think about doing an album like that, darn if he didn't remember every song and every solo, and I love that music can really touch you and stay a part of your life like that. So we attempted in our way, I won't say we succeeded, but we attempted to write songs that are that right, that are just that cool, that they'll stay with you.
I think classic music, if it has an honesty to it, stands the test of time.
And it's easy as a player to get distracted by your technique and your playing and the sound and all that stuff, which is important. But in the end, for me, the things that make me come back to music is the quality of the writing, the material.
Let's go back to the phones with Tony Levin, 1-800-348-2551. Dave in Atlanta, Georgia. Right, hello, Dave. Dave. Come in, Dave.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Tony, I really enjoy the excerpts of the jazz music that we're hearing here today. Any plans to tour that or play it live?
Yes, we will do that, but the it hasn't been booked, so I can't talk about it. And even when things are kind of, you have the germ of the idea, you learn not to talk about it publicly because things change. But I know I'm busy with King Crimson and Peter Gabriel until the end of the year, and we will, before the end of the year, we will plan our touring. I would predict that we'll play jazz clubs around the U.S. to start with, and hope maybe to get some festivals in Europe, but the schedule hasn't been made.
Looking forward to it.
Well, thank you very much.
Pull it off.
And it'd be nice to come to Atlanta with it. I know that. Great town for music.
We'd love to see you here.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
Bye. You know, we have a little venue across the street, the Linda. if the Levin Brothers wanted to do a little show.
It's a great venue.
Might be a nice
it's a great venue.
Nice little thing to do. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Are you guys recording these Crimson dates?
That's a good question. I haven't paid attention. Logic says we probably are, but I don't really know.
I guess you can do that now without the musicians even having to know. In the old days, it was quite a lot of equipment involved.
That's right. But someone knows for sure, but I'm not the guy. I guess the situation is that I have my hands utterly full just trying to play the show right and playing my bass parts right.
Do you have, I've seen you guys many times, and I can't recall, do you have charts when you were on stage, or do you have little notes?
It's different in different bands. In my case, I started with having to write charts way back in February, and then in June I got rid of some of them, and then they revert to what you just said, notes, instead of a full chart of writing out all the notes. And I attempt by showtime of the first show to not have any music. I can't say I completely succeeded. So I have a couple of notes on the floor in front of me, but I have no music stand. I wouldn't want to have a music stand and charts in front of me.
Absolutely not. Well, it works out really well. King Crimson tonight, and it's going to be a great show, I am hoping. And then you get a night or two off, and then down to Philly, and then you're eventually out on the West Coast. I know, because I've seen on the word on the internet is pretty big on this Crimson tour. Question, before we go. You see this all over the place, and the internet's great for information and misinformation.
Yeah, that's true.
The so-called farewell tour. Is it a farewell tour?
No, that was a mystery. I just heard that today, that somebody called it that. I never heard about that. We don't know what's happening after this tour. That decision will be made sometime near the end of this tour, and my hope, like the hope of the fans, is that there'll be more next year.
Fripp is having fun.
He's
a mystery to me.
Okay.
He doesn't look like he's having fun much.
Well, he does to me.
He does?
Yeah. Of course, I'm backstage with him, unlike you.
At the Nokia show, he stayed in his plexiglass box. Yeah. And so he has fun?
I know better than to speak for anybody else, let alone Robert, but he seems to be having fun on this
couple store. Of cocktails, he'll tell some jokes and such. All right, fair enough. You won't say. All right, Levin Brothers is the new record, and we can find out more about that where?
I would suggest thelevinbrothers.com or tonylevin.com.
All right. Tony Levin, great job. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Good luck with the show. Why don't you play us out with one from your new record?
Goodness, I didn't pick one.
Well, go ahead. Zach is in there. He's on the case.
How about we go with track 5, Jumpin' Jammies?
All right. Listen, thanks, everybody, for calling in. You can hear a podcast of this program in about half an hour. We'll have it up on the website, WAMC.org. Thanks to Zach, the engineer. Thanks to Colleen O'Connell, who answered the calls. Thanks to the great Tony Levin, Crimson Tonight. Hope to see you there. We're out.